Let's open to the book of Amos. In the middle of your Bible, we are in chapter 5. Can you turn on those lights for me, please? Thank you, buddy. I got to turn to Amos myself. Give me a second. So Amos, if you are just joining us, is a rough, tough book. It's not an easy-peasy book to go through. God's people have been in rebellion, both Israel in the north and Judah in the south, and God's been speaking to them and talking to them and blessing until he's blue in the face, so to speak, and they're not listening. And so here's what I would like you to do in your own heart. Since these were very religious people, they have sacrifices, going to church or synagogue. They were doing all the things they were supposed to be doing, yet their hearts were growing cold. And sometimes our hearts can grow cold when we're doing a lot of religious activity, but we've got a drained heart or a damaged heart or a hardened heart or we've got a rebellious heart. So will you just take a minute and ask the Lord right now in your own way, in your own eyes, just close your eyes and say, just Lord, will you just warm my heart by the oil of your Holy Spirit? Will you light me on fire that I would receive anything that you have to say to me? Would you please, Lord? I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you do that, we're going to enter Amos chapter 5, and we're going to go through it together. And you know, somebody asked me, hey, one of my kids actually did this. They said, oh, it's Father's Day. So aren't you doing a Father's Day message? And I was like, well, that would have been a good idea. No, I didn't think of that. What I thought was Amos 5. And then I saw it. There's like 27 verses. I was like, ah! First off, that means 27 slides. No matter what, I was like, oh, Lord, how are you going to do this? But he put it all together. And so this is what we've got. We start off in Amos chapter 5. And if you notice, it starts off, some of your Bibles may have a little caption. It says a lament and a call to repentance. And that's what I think God is doing, number one. And if you don't know what lament is, okay, it's expressing grief verbally, sometimes even through a song or something, but it's expressing extreme grief also with sorrowful regret. So God's heart is never to mash you down into nothing till you feel like you can't go on anymore. However, he does want your heart to break so that you get right with him. Because we can all, let's be honest, we can all do religious stuff. We can all talk Christianese, right? Can we? You can show up, you can do that. But if it's not in the heart, if it's not coming out of your eyes, your heart, your mouth, then something's wrong. And God always cares about your heart, Robin. He cares about your heart, Chris. And so we have to make sure, and that's why God says, hey, stir one another up to love and good deeds. So you know what? If you hear, oh, my sister is struggling, we pray, Lord, warm her heart, stir her up, Lord. We pray, Pastor Gary, bless him, encourage him, strengthen him in the Lord. But God's calling these people to his heart, even though they're rebelling against him and taking advantage of and doing this whole hypocrisy thing, he's still reaching out. And so he starts off, he says, hear this word, Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. He says, fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again, deserted in her own land with no one to lift her up. Even the Lord is lamenting, his heart is grieving that these people aren't doing what they're supposed to do with the right heart. And honestly, I don't know if you know this, you'd think the creator of the universe, you can make God sad. Did you know that? You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God by your actions, by your attitude, by your words, by your what you do, what you don't do. These are all things that are important to God. If you're doing what you're doing with the wrong heart, God's like, bleh. Sometimes we can go through the motions, right? The robotic church stuff. And then really, in our private life, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. God says, that's not good. And so if you remember, he's used this, hear this word, for the last three chapters, in chapter 3, 4, and now in 5, right? And we've talked a lot about various things about hearing the word of God. And we've already talked about that in the last couple of weeks, so I don't want to abuse it. But I do want to say, what happens? We talked a lot about it, but what happens when God is trying to reach out, you know, what happens when we refuse to do it? Right? He's speaking it. He's teaching it. He's talking to us, right? And we're just like, I hear you. No. What happens then? We didn't talk about that. And here's the deal. I really like this scripture verse because this, in James chapter 1, 23, 24, it exemplifies to me what we're doing when we refuse to listen to God. We refuse to do what he's telling us to do, okay? And I know this is not, you certainly won't find these scripture pictures in a seeker-friendly church, I'll tell you that much. They'd probably be stoned to run out of there. They'd pastor and they'd pick somebody that wants to teach what itching ears want to hear, but thank you for listening. Now, that's the first step. The second is to take this to heart. This is what it says, okay, if you don't know. This is in James. He goes, anyone, this is God's word to us too, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror, right? And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. You wouldn't go out in public like, at least I hope you wouldn't go out in public. Right? Hey, look at this. Oh my gosh, I look like an idiot. Oh, what a fool. Okay, let's go. Right? That's what happens when you're listening to the word of God and then you just don't do it. You go out of here and you don't think about it again. When we do that, when I do that, I'm the clown. I don't want you. God doesn't want you to be the clown. Right? Okay, now here's another one. Okay, when we refuse to do what God's saying, right? It's, I don't know if anybody, when I got this scripture picture in mind, I don't know. Does anybody know who this is? Raise your hand if you know. Oh, I'm surprised. Okay. All right, for those of you who don't know, this is me when I was younger. I didn't had a mohawk. I was really tan. It's just, you know, I didn't want to. This was Mr. T, okay? And he had this catchphrase. I don't know if you watched the A-Team. It was really cool back when I was. Anyway, so he'd always say this. He'd always say, I pity the fool who doesn't listen to me. I pity the fool who goes up against me. I pity the fool. That's what he'd always, that was his catchphrase, right? I don't even know what else he said, but that I remember. And that's exactly really what James 1:22 says. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fools yourself or fooling yourself. Listen, these are tough words, but they're true words, aren't they? Okay? So listen, obey. Otherwise, what are you doing? Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. It doesn't say you should. It'd be a good idea to. Or think about it. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. I pity the fool who doesn't listen to God's word, okay? There you go. So, and when it says this, you know, fallen is the virgin Israel, the picture that Amos the prophet is trying to paint for us, it's kind of graphic. It's a picture of a young, beautiful woman, and I almost got in trouble there, young, beautiful woman who has a blessed, abundant life ahead of her because of God's blessing. But instead, that woman chooses not to obey God's word and rebel and live a life of rebellion against him, just going through the religious motion. And in so doing, will be fallen, forsaken, ravaged, alone, with no one to help her. God's like, dude, you can't keep living this way. I've told you again and again and again. And actually, I didn't even know, I wanted to see how. Usually on Father's Day, we usually have, during the summer, so people are away. We have less people because people are going with their fathers or grandfathers, and that's fine. But the language here is almost like someone who's been, I don't know how else to say it. I'll just say ravaged. That's probably a good word. An enemy has come in, they've taken over, they've ravaged, and they've left her just to die, basically, alone in the desert. So, I mean, this is some heavy, heavy... And that's what he's saying. He's like, guys, you do not understand. You keep saying, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. God is patient. But don't take that patience as he's not going to lay down the hammer at some point. Those consequences are going to come. It's just that he's patient with you. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants everyone to come to the Lord. He wants everyone to repent and turn. Does that make sense? So don't take that for granted. Amos 5:3 goes on to say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Israel. Your city that marches out 1,000 strong will only have 100 left. Your town that marches out 100 strong will only have 10 left. In other words, he's saying, look, once my judgment comes down upon you, it doesn't matter how much of an army you've built up or whatever. You know, you could march out 1,000. You know what? You're only going to have a remnant. You're only going to have 100 battle-weary soldiers. Look at, and his face kind of says it all, doesn't it? That are going to eat me. That's a big deal, right? For a long time, Israel enjoyed the protection of God, the prosperity of God. And unfortunately, instead of trusting God, they chose instead to trust in their money and ripping people off and their riches and the strength of their military and of their allies. And think about that. That's a 90% reduction. So whatever you're putting your trust, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we should trust in the name of the Lord our God. And they put their trust and their treasure in the things of this world instead of the things of God, right? And in his word. And in the end, they're going to pay a devastating price. And I would say the same. It's going to be the same for you. Look, where is your treasure? Are you trusting in what is seen, the seen world around you? Or are you trusting in what is unseen by faith? I didn't put the scripture picture up, but scripture says, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in scripture, it says to keep your eyes focused, not on what is seen. In other words, the world, the circumstances, the culture. Don't go that direction. Keep your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, right? The things that are godly, the things that are heavenly, right? So what about you? What are you trusting in? You know, the things of the world, right? The comforts of the world, there's a scripture verse, and this is in Isaiah 31:1, and it says this. Egypt, by the way, for those of you who are new to studying the Bible, is usually a picture of the world. Whenever you hear Egypt mentioned, it's usually a picture of the world. And it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in their great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. He's like, woe to you. That's heavy stuff, guys, right? It's easy to, we could say, well, we trust in our business. We trust in our job. We trust in our 401k. We trust in, you know, whatever. You put your little name on it, my reputation, my viewers, whatever it is, instead of trusting in the Lord, right? Oh, I just, should I say it? It's still true for us today. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm, you know, listen, no political party is perfect, but I'm sure everybody has seen a little shift in cultural things that are going, we're going one direction, and now we're seeing it go into more, a different direction, and a little more, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And you know what? It doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, ultimately. No, don't say that. But what matters is, who are we putting first in our lives and in our country? Right? Right. Honestly, I wouldn't care. Yeah, I don't want somebody to stone me here. But I would vote for whatever party most honors the Lord. Now, there's still worldly parties, but that's who I would vote for. What is best on? Who's going to best honor the Lord, right? Because he's my primary. And so, man, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You can kick him out of your party. You can kick him out of your life. You can kick him out of whatever you want, but don't expect that blessing and that protection of God to continue for you. I saw a hand up. I don't have any idea where the microphone is. You sure may. We'll give you the microphone. Pastor Gary's already on his way. And
they're under attack right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, then go ahead. We don't need to even talk about it. Just pray.
We do thank you, Father, that you do rule over nations. You rule over men's hearts. I thank you that these missiles that are flying would be knocked out of the sky, Father. I just pray against the evil that has come in this world. Their plans would just fall apart. And we pray for protection for the nation of Israel right now. That you would be glorified in everything that happens over there. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Now, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, God has a plan for, you know, as a plan for Israel. Not everybody in Israel is, in fact, most are not. Most are secular. But God has a plan and a purpose for them. And they shouldn't even exist, honestly, because, but with all the people that hate them. But we go on. And so what's your trust? Where's your treasure? You know, Matthew 6:19 tells us this, you know, and this is a doozy. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It says, instead, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That's what we're to be doing, right? Where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, what's most important to you? Is it even good things, if it's not a God thing, is not the best thing? Yeah, we want to put God first in all things, right? And so we live in a house. We got a great deal on it. It was the Lord, really. We got it on short sale, and we got this very nice house. And it was many years ago. How many years ago, Lise? 20? Okay. So really, we got it. It was almost brand new. And man, we were so happy. Oh, you know what? And we didn't have to worry about nothing. Brand new. And God, incredible deal. God just, that's how we moved up to brand new. God just did this incredible thing. So now, after 20 years, guess what? Windows are leaking. The screens are ripped. I mean, this and that. I was like, oh, man. Everything in this earth is breaking down. Even me. Ask my knees. Okay? So what's the only thing that lasts, right? Picture two buckets. You having two buckets, okay? I don't even want to make them colors. Picture two buckets. One says the world and one says, you know, the kingdom, the heavenly. Your goal is to take all the worldly stuff as much as you can and put it into that heavenly bucket. Your time, your whatever, and invest in the things that are unseen, the heavenly things. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Does that make sense, everybody? Amen. Okay, all right. Thank you, sister. I heard an amen. All right, let's continue on. It goes on in Amos chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, this is what the Lord says to Israel, seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba, for Gilgal will surely go into exile and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. So God's people were on the verge of like severe judgment, and yet the Lord's desire is still that they turn from their sins. They seek God and live. God is so patient. Honestly, I'd be like, you got an attitude problem. Where's the button? Bye-bye. God is so patient. But listen, for those of you who don't know, that's what he wants all of us. Listen, that's why he's still speaking to you. He loves you. Listen, he knows you're messing up in areas. He doesn't like that. He doesn't want that for you because it's stopping the blessing that goes to you and that goes out from you. But this is what he said. This is even in Ezekiel. The Lord actually gave me this scripture and this picture this morning. I had to do it on the fly. This is Ezekiel 18:23. I did it in the New Living Translation. But it says, look, this is the Lord speaking. Do you think that I like to see the wicked people die? Says the sovereign Lord, of course not. He doesn't even want when we're wicked. I thank God I didn't get saved till almost 30. Ooh, what a wicked life. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me, that you're patient with me, right? He said, of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. So listen, in your righteousness, now you're saved. Let's say you're saved and now you're walking right. It's very easy to get all self-righteous and be like, oh, those wicked people. You know, and you fill in who it is, you know, who's the wicked person. You know, they're ungodly. You know what? They're doing all those ungodly things. You know what? They are. But you know what? That's what you used to do before you gave your life to Jesus. Don't act all hoity-toity. You were just like them, or you were capable of those things. So you know what? Let's not have the enemy take righteousness and distort it into self-righteousness to where you're looking down at everybody. How about you just remember and say, okay, I'm not going to put up with that evil. I'm not going to go that direction. You know what? I don't like it. I'm going to speak out against it, but God loves you and he's trying to talk to you and he's trying to save you. Listen, but there is going to be a time. God is telling them, you know, to turn. Proverbs 1:27-29, the New King James Version says this. But there's going to be a day of consequence, right? And there's going to be a day where God's going to be like, finally, you know what? Enough is enough. The judgment's coming. You had your chance. People are like, this is what I think people think in their mind. I should probably do this real quick. I think people think, well, I'm just going to hold out and wait. And then when the Lord returns, then I'm going to be like, hey, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I get it. Let's work everything out. High fives, right? I wore the JC t-shirt, right? 316, I know that one, right? Football games, I was there. It's too late. Listen, it's a coming. And it says, this is where when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. And here's the reason why. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Here's the reason why. See, you're being taught truth every single week here. We don't pick and choose just the happy verses. We give you the whole shebang, right? So God is speaking to you right now. You can either say, well, I don't like what he's saying to me. I don't like, or you can listen and say, I don't hate that. I'm going to receive it because you said it. I did not choose to fear the Lord. That just means to have a reverential respect for him and his word. I didn't choose to do that. And so this is the judgment is coming. There's another verse that I like. Well, what about, but Pastor, I'm not like that. I want to seek him. I want to do what it takes. Whatever it is, I'm that person. What about me? Well, the good news is in Jeremiah 29:13, you've got some good news. And it says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. See, that's what God wants. And notice that it says you'll find me and seek me when you seek me with how much of your heart? Half? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Are you seeking him with half your heart or with all your heart? Well, I can't find him. Could it be that there's something that you're holding on to that you shouldn't be? You'll find me when you search me with all your heart. Listen, that's just what the word says. And in towns like Bethel, it says, hey, don't go to Bethel, don't go to Gilgal. They were places known for great spiritual heritage in the Bible. right? Bethel is the place where Jacob saw angels, you know, ascending and descending on the stairway, right? Or the ladder or whatever. But anyway, and so, but these places are now filled with idol worship and disobedience to God's word. And in order for God's people to repent, they had to stop going to these places and sinning. Start there. You know, and that's another good question. Are there places in your life that you need to stop going? Physical places, online places, relational places that maybe you should stop? It's a good question to ask. And he continues in Amos 5, 6, and 7. He says, seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. Listen, God's always interested in you cutting away the flesh of your life. We're in a constant battle against the things that you want and the things that God wants. Our flesh says, oh, I want what I want right now. And God says, cut that part away and get your heart right. Listen, he says in Jeremiah 4:4, he says, circumcise your heart. That just means the cutting away of the flesh. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. In other words, you do that. You fight against the flesh. You cut that flesh out of your life. Circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Or my wrath will flare up and burn like a fire because of the evil you have done. Burn with no one to quench it. So God's like, man, listen, I'm holy. I'm set apart. You got to get on board with me. I'm not going to get on board with you, or I'm not going to get on board with your culture, right? He goes in Amos 5, 8 through 9, he says this, he says, he who made Pleiades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn and darkness into day, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. And with a blinding flash, he destroys the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. You're not going to trust in your walls or your wealth or your military. It means nothing to the Lord. I think God's reminding the people of the power of God and why he's worthy to be sought and obeyed. And he created everything, including the stars and the constellation, right? And he also has the power to destroy the rebellion. You know, God's a God of creation, but he's also a God of judgment. And in case you don't know, if you're new or you're listening online, Genesis 1:1 says that he did create everything. In the beginning, it says that God created both the heavens and the earth, right? I don't have a scripture verse for this, but it says that he knows the stars, every one of them by name. Actually, I do have one that I made. I just didn't bring it on this time. It says in Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. It wasn't a big bang, it was a big God. Anyway, it goes on to say in Amos, and I'm going a little quick here because it's 27 verses. Amos 5, 10 through 11 says, there are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth, just like today. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. Through their oppression and their injustice, the wicked in Israel, they gained lots of wealth. They built fancy houses, fancy vineyards and all that on the backs of the poor. They unjustly taxed them. They took advantage of them. They manipulated them. It's what we've read in earlier chapters. And just like any unjust gains of the wicked, it's only temporary. God's going to evict them for their dishonesty, and they're not even going to live in those houses and vineyards. He continues on in Amos 5, 12 and 13. He says, for I know how many your offenses are and how great are your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent, take bribes, deprive the poor of justice in the courts, and therefore the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. What does that mean? Well, those oppressive courts in Israel have grown so corrupt that the judges could be bought off and injustice reigned. So the poor and the righteous were both shut up. That bribery culture of injustice was so powerful that the prudent, those who were wise, knew enough to keep quiet because it was an evil time. The godly and the righteous people did not dare speak out for fear of either retribution or desperate hopelessness, knowing that it wouldn't even do any good. So they were smart enough to hold their tongue. Now, somebody would ask, hey, well, is there a biblical mandate for us sometimes holding our tongue? And sometimes like, well, I just say what this is how I am. And so I just say whatever I say whenever I feel like it. Well, if you're a Christian, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Now listen, we can all mess up sometimes, right? Okay? Isn't that true? However, that does not give you a license. In fact, here's what the Bible says. This is in Proverbs 29:11. See, the wisdom, right, the wise use self-control. It says, a fool vents all his feelings or her feelings. Well, this is just how I feel. Well, I just feel like I should be able to. Now, I've done that too at times, and I can tell you, when I've done that, it is wrong. It says, a fool vents all his feeling, but a wise man or a wise person holds them back. There are times when you don't have to say everything. In fact, it's wiser for you not to. That's why God gave you the spirit of self-control. When I made the scripture verse, I immediately thought of one person. Yes, that's right, Anthony, my wife Lisa. But that's it for another time. I'll talk to you more about that, Anthony. But we can all be subject to this, but listen, as you grow in the Lord, you're going to be wiser, and you're going to know there's sometimes you should just keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it's better to, you know what, keep your mouth shut and pray. And then there's other times where you should speak up, right, and say what you need to say. And discerning those times, asking the Lord, is now the time or is not? That's step number one. Anyway, Amos 5, 14 to 15 goes on to say, two paths. He's like, seek good, right? Not evil. You got two paths to go to, that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you, just as you say. They were all saying, hey, God's with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And God's like, I'm not with you. I'm just holding back my wrath so you'll repent. And so he's telling them, I want to be with you. I want to provide for you. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to uphold you with my righteous right hand. But you have to choose. Look, he wants you to hate evil and love God. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Israel, the remnant of Joseph. Listen, and you know what? We should hate evil. You have to understand, there's forces in this world that are going the opposite direction of God. Whenever you say, oh, I don't even know if a man can be a woman, there's so many things, even basic things you would think no one could contradict, right? I got so many. I always just tell me to shut up and get out, go on. But the bottom line is, we're to hate that evil. Now, we're not to hate the people, though. Because they're just duped. They're listening to their friends, their media, their online, their YouTube, their whatever. They're listening to those demonic spirits. They're telling them to go the opposite of what God is telling them to do. So here's the deal. You're to hate the evil, but not the person. Realize, see the person as who they are. They've just been tricked, just like you were. Do you know what I'm saying? So try not to hate the person. As best, ask the Lord to help you, because sometimes it's hard to... Right? But this is what the world is like. But you're to hate evil. Right? This is what the world is like. And some of us don't hate evil enough. Like, this is evil. This is the world. This is what they're trying to do to the Lord's people right here. And the only one that's holding it back is who? Right. Pastor, I just don't think we should hate. Well, God doesn't say that. God says, in fact, it says in Psalm 97:10, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Dang, oh, I didn't know that, Pastor. Yes, hate it. doesn't say hate the person. Remember, God loves the wicked. He wants all of them to turn. Do you remember we just saw the scripture picture? But he says hate evil. Now, here's the wonderful thing about the Lord. And because he preserves the souls of the saints, it says. And there's blessing that comes from it, right? Is hate evil, seek good. There's a reason for it, because God's going to protect you. He's going to preserve the souls of the saints. He's going to deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. That's what he does. Now, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and I can tell you, he does do these things. Now, sometimes it's not in my timing. I'm like, Lord, ready. Get them now. Okay, now. Just forget it, Lord. I'm just going to follow you. Oh, you got him now. Okay, yeah. So sometimes it's not in the timing you want, but he does preserve the souls of his saints, and he delivers them out of the hand of... That's why you're to hate evil and follow good, right? These last verses as we finish up, Amos 5, 16 and 17, it says, therefore, this is what the Lord says, the Lord God Almighty, there will be wailing in the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards, and for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. In other words, he's saying judgment is coming. They used to hire, it sounds kind of weird for us, they would hire professional criers, people to cry and to mourn, right? They would hire them to do that. And the more they'd mourn, the more they realized how bad it was. God is saying that, look, they're going to be not just in houses, in every public square, even farmers. There's not even going to be enough mourners. Everybody's going to be crying because you continued to rebel against me, even though you knew better. Amos 5, 18 to 20 says, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? This will be darkness and light, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness? For them, and honestly for us, it's going to be when the Lord comes back, there's going to be two sets of people. There's going to be those who are caught up with him, harpazoed, and brought up with him in the air to meet with him in the air. But for the rest of the world, it's going to be a day of darkness and judgment. And he will come again. And he goes on to say in Amos 5, 21, 23, he goes, listen, guys, you're doing all this religious stuff. I hate it. I hate, he said, despise. You ever use the word despise? That's a tough word, isn't it? If I said, I'm going to use you, Natalie, because you're a friend. I despise you. Wow, that's, he's saying, I hate and I despise your assemblies. Imagine going to church and God's like, I am so disgusted with all of you. I don't want to ever hear that, right? Rebuke that in Jesus' name. He says, listen, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I'll not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. In fact, away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen into the music of your harps because your heart's wrong. Listen, I appreciate the worship team so very much because they go through, you know what, just even probably to get up here. But listen, if your hearts aren't right in the worship team, God's not pleased with that. We could hire the best musicians around. They all do it for free, by the way, just so you know. But we could hire the best musicians around. But if they don't love the Lord, what difference does it make? That doesn't please God at all. So they would have been, the people of Israel would have been blown away. What, you hate all this stuff? We thought you loved it. And like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, the Jewish people assumed God was pleased with their words, but they were giving them lip service, their ceremonies, their religious activities. Instead, God was actually disgusted by the disconnect between the religious activities and their heart. He's like, get your heart right with me. He's like, I want goodness to flow from you like a river. Love, kindness, justice. In fact, that's what he says in the next verse, the name is 5:24. He says, but let justice roll like a river. Righteousness, like a never-failing stream. I want that goodness from you. That's what's going to bless people. That's what's going to refresh people. And then these last verses, as we finish out, he says, did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? Now you have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you've made for yourselves, your worshiping idols. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. And that's exactly what happened. So I'll leave you with this last verse, because it's relevant for us today. This is from Psalm 51, 16 to 17, the New Living Translation. Listen, I appreciate everybody who's serving here. I really do. That's important. I appreciate everyone who gives and put tithes in the tithe box. Really do. I appreciate everybody who serves at the school or serves on the ministry or all these things. Everybody online who watches and gives, this is amazing. But listen, if your heart isn't right in it, God's not pleased. So listen, here's what he says. You do not, this is what God's word says, you do not desire a sacrifice or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering, right? These aren't what pleases the Lord. You know what pleases the Lord, right? If you notice, what do you notice that she's giving to God? Her heart. What was that, Pastor Gary? Right? Tar or something. You know, it's the dirt, the tar, the black, right? She's on her knees before the Lord. I'm screwing up. This is what God finds acceptable. Listen, it says, the sacrifice you desire, O God, is a broken spirit. Oh God, I've sinned against you. I'm screwing up. My heart isn't right in this. I'm going to church with the wrong attitude. I'm giving with the wrong attitude. I'm serving with the wrong attitude. I've got jealousy in my heart. I've got unforgiveness in my heart. I've got apathy in my heart. This is the sacrifice God wants. Not that you put, you know, whatever, build a building in the back for us, or this, what he really, those are good. All of those are great things, but this is what he really wants. He wants you on your knees, giving him your heart. Lord, I'm sorry. My heart's broken. I haven't had the right attitude. I haven't been speaking the right things. I haven't been looking at the right things online. I haven't been treating my wife right, my kids right, whatever it is for you. I haven't been spending the time I'm supposed to doing my, I am just not. This is what God finds beautiful. This is what he desires. You saying, I know I'm screwing up. Here's my heart, Lord God. Please forgive me. My heart's broken over it. It says this, you will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. That's one thing God will never, ever, ever reject. It's when your heart is broken and your heart is repentant before him. No one can make those decisions for you but you. God is so good that as dark and as black as your heart can get, if you will break, you allow your heart to be broken and repent, God will receive you. In fact, that's what he desires. So turn, seek God, and live. Does that make sense? Yeah. Father, I want to say thank you so much for each person here, Lord God, thank you for your word that truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you that the sacrifices you desire in us is a broken and contrite heart, O God, that you do not despise, Lord, that you rejoice in, Lord God. So I pray in Jesus' name right now that every single person in here, heart would be stirred in some way, Lord God, that they would be convicted, that they wouldn't leave this place, Lord God, and looking in the mirror right now that you're speaking to them about something, or maybe somebody online and looking in that mirror and then just immediately go away and forget what you spoke to them or what they look like, Lord. I pray that they wouldn't be like that. I pray that they would be the people that hear your word, offer up a broken and contrite heart to you, repent, and then seek to obey your word. Help them to obey it, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name for everybody here, everybody on listens online in this upcoming week, you would do whatever it takes, Lord, to remove that sin from their life, to bring about repentance, Lord God, and renewal because you want to bless them, you want to encourage them, and you want to be with them, Lord God. Help each one of us to seek you and live, Lord. We love you and we bless you and we thank you for your word. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you guys and have a great week in Jesus Christ's name.